Hello, and can I welcome you to this midweek podcast for the 28th of April, whether you're listening on the day or later in the week. Today we're in Matthew 12, looking at some of Jesus' teaching. Let's pray. Jesus said, "Consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." Father, help us to listen attentively to the voice of Jesus now, and to want more of Jesus, and to live by what he says. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading then Matthew 12, starting at verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here." You're probably not one of those people who believes that the earth is flat, and for the record, neither am I. But imagine a flat earther saying, "I won't believe that the earth is round unless you can show me a place on earth where everything is upside down." Now, there's a certain logic to that argument. If you have something round like a football and a mug with its base sitting on top of the football, and you then move the mug, keeping its base on the surface of the ball until it is at the bottom of the football, then the mug is then upside down. So this flat earther thinks that for the earth to be round, there must be a place on the surface where you can move to where you and everything else would be upside down, if you hadn't fallen off before then. This cynical disbeliever in a spherical earth will only accept that he or she is wrong if their own conditions for belief are met, never mind what other evidence of their error there might be. Well, it was that kind of cynical disbelief that Jesus encountered in the Pharisees and teachers of the law in verse 38 of our passage today. In the previous section of this chapter, Jesus had healed a demon-possessed man who was both blind and mute. And the Pharisees comment on this miracle, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." They just didn't want to accept that Jesus could be the Son of God, the Christ, their Messiah, their King. So they come asking Jesus for a sign. They clearly wanted a sign that fitted in with their concept of what their Messiah would do. They may even have been intending to specify the sign themselves, which they could then judge as authentic or not. That's just what happens later. Matthew tells us that it was the chief priests, the teachers of the law and the elders who said as Jesus hung on the cross, "Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him." Do you see the attitude? Meet our conditions and we will believe. We will be the judges of whether your claim is valid. Isn't that astonishing arrogance and hypocrisy towards the one who has already shown his astonishing, all-surpassing authority in so many ways through his words and deeds? Jesus demonstrates that authority again in his response in today's verses. He won't be bullied into performing for them or playing their game. Instead, he challenges what their desire for a special sign reveals about their hearts. But the challenge is not just for the religious leaders. He challenges all who want to be entertained by a spectacle. This is, he says, a wicked and adulterous generation. Wicked because they ultimately reject God's word to them. Adulterous because they mix true religion with false. But there will be one sign for them, Jesus says, if only they will see it. the sign that lies at the heart of God's plan to rescue men and women from the judgment that has hung over them since Genesis chapter 3. This plan, made before the foundation of the world, involved as its key turning point the death and resurrection of Jesus. The sign Jesus pointed them to was his own burial in the ground for 3 days and three nights, the sign that would culminate in his glorious resurrection. What more proof of his authority was needed? What better proof could be provided? Jesus told them what was going to happen to him, and it happened as he had told them. Incidentally, if you're concerned that the gospel accounts indicate that Jesus was in the grave for just the Friday and Saturday, two nights as we would count them, Matthew's original Jewish audience would have understood that the expression 3 days and three nights could just mean a period that included parts of three adjacent days. Well, Jesus calls this sign the sign of Jonah. Jonah, who famously tried to run away when God asked him to preach judgment to the city of Nineveh, then got himself thrown overboard from a ship in a horrendous storm, but was rescued when God caused him to be swallowed by a big fish. Jonah tells afterwards how he prayed to the Lord from inside that fish. "From the depths of the grave I called for help," he said. It was a near-death experience, but God raised him up from this grave as he was vomited out by this fish after 3 days. When a chastened Jonah finally fulfilled the task God had given him, amazingly, the people of Nineveh recognized the truth of what Jonah was saying about their wickedness, and they repented. So Jesus likens what happened to Jonah in the fish with what was going to happen to himself. But he then goes on to contrast the response of the Ninevites to Jonah's preaching with how the leaders and people around Jesus would respond to his preaching. Jonah, a grumpy, reluctant preacher and an unknown foreigner to the Ninevites, causes them to cry out to the Lord and turn to him. Jesus, a gracious, fervent preacher, growing up and living among his people, will cause them to turn on him and crucify him. Hence Jesus' chilling words in verse 41. "The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." So if you're listening in as someone who isn't yet trusting in Jesus, I do hope that you're not holding back, waiting for God to give you some particular sign, perhaps to answer a particular prayer in a particular way, or demanding more evidence before you will believe. Look to Jesus. Listen to him. Listen to his words of truth and grace and power. Look at how he lived in total integrity with what he said. See the wisdom of what he said. See how he speaks of his unique relationship with his Father. See how he invites you to come to the Father through him and be welcomed into his family. See how he explains his death and resurrection as the means by which we can come to God with confidence. When you look to Jesus, you have all the evidence you need to trust him. If you're someone who knows and loves the Lord, you've probably encountered the sort of cynical disbelief that we see in these verses as you have spoken of your faith. We shouldn't be surprised. It's entrenched in our generation. But Jesus wouldn't pander to such cynicism, and neither should we. We shouldn't think that such people can be won over just by more evidence or better arguments. If they are among our family, friends, neighbours or colleagues, we will be saddened, deeply saddened, by their disbelief. If we love them, we will want to take every appropriate opportunity to help them see the real Jesus, who he is, what he is like, and what he came to earth to do. And of course, we will pray, for it is only the Holy Spirit who can soften sin-hardened hearts and bring to repentance, as he did with the men of Nineveh. Well, let's pray now. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that in the scriptures we see his glory. We see him full of grace and truth. Thank you that by the Holy Spirit's work in us, we can know Jesus as the one full of grace and truth who has revealed you to us. Thank you for this sign of Jonah in his death and resurrection, which not only shows us who Jesus really is, but has opened the way for us to be made righteous in your sight and welcomed into your presence. Help us to draw near with faith and know the blessings of being at peace with you. We pray for those we care about who are in denial about the truth you have revealed and are stuck in cynical disbelief. Please, Lord, be very merciful to them in softening their hearts and bringing them to repentance and faith, as you did with the men of Nineveh. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you've been encouraged through these scriptures today. Do join us live on Sunday if you can. Remember to book in for either the morning or evening service or listen in online.